Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, I am in Philadelphia, getting ready for the start of this six-game road trip. Three against the Phillies, three against the Reds. Jay Posner, back in San Diego. He's the sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, the Phillies, they're a game out of the second wild card spot. The Padres, they're trying to get back in this thing. That's what they insist. Not only are they doing it with a patchwork puzzle, jigsaw puzzle pitching staff, they will for likely at least 2 weeks be trying to claw their way back into relevancy without Fernando Tatis Jr. How about that?
Well, obviously that's terrible news. And it's not terrible news in the sense that because they're not going to get back into the wild card race because they haven't been in the wild card race in weeks.
I'm relaying what they say.
I know you are. I know you are, and that's your job, and you should be doing that. But they are not in the wild card race at this time, nor will they be in the wild card race the rest of the season. And the worst, so that means the worst thing is we are deprived of seeing Fernando Tatis Jr. play baseball for the next, 10 days to 2 weeks, whatever it takes to get him healthy. I do remember when he went out the last time, they said, oh, it might only be a couple weeks, and it wound up being like five. So we'll see what happens with that right now. But the problem is we don't see Tatis. I mean, whether they win or lose a couple more games or a couple fewer games, I'm not sure that how really relevant that is at this point. They can talk all they want about being in the race, but they have, what is it now, Kevin, 40 games to play?
40 games to play. I believe it's six games back. I know for certain it is eight teams in front of them.
I'm sorry, it's 42 games maybe?
Well, it is 42 because the 120th was played on Wednesday.
Right, so they have 42 games. To get to 86 wins, they would have to win 30 of 42. Now, you tell me the chance of that happening. I think at this point, like if they won 22 of 42, somewhere in there.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the chances of that are better than the chances of us seeing Ian Kinsler's 2,000th career hit? Because Ian Kinsler will be placed on the 10-day injured list later today with a disc herniation in his neck.
I guess the... Will they let him try to come back late in September and give him a couple pinch hit tries to get the 2000th hit? I guess it just depends on how serious this injury is. But I will say the chances of us seeing hit number 2000 from Ian Kinsler, and what a moment that will be, by the way, when it happens. The chances of that are better than the chances of the Padres being the wild card this season.
I think the podcast is the place for me to say this. I think it's a safe space for all of us. And that is, Ian Kinsler's been a punching bag. Ian Kinsler has done some things wrong. Ian Kinsler has not been very good. I'm not going to get into how he's helped players, all that. That's for you to believe or not believe. 2,000 hits is a big deal. This guy's played in the majors for 14 years. He has the respect of his peers. And so I just want to say this dude's been pretty good in the major leagues for a long time.
No, I will agree with that. And I just meant in the sense of it'll be a moment because whatever he's done in San Diego, whether he had had a good season or a bad season, no one's really going to appreciate that achievement here in San Diego. And because of what he's done here, on many levels, I don't think most people will appreciate that. But it is to be respected. That is quite an achievement if he does get to 2,000 hits. And who knows what next year holds for him. So it would be nice if he were able to come back in a couple weeks or a month or whatever it might be and try to get another shot.
The indication is that he's done at the end of this year. It would be a huge upset if he's back with the Padres next year. But there is some affection for him, and I think that it's the kind of thing that, in September, why not allow the guy to come back and get his 2,000th hit?
So of course, there's also the other side of it is he better off going out on 1999 with the way that he got 1999? Like, that was his last appearance. He didn't play or pinch hit after Monday night when he pitched and hit the home run. So I wonder, there's a little bit of that. I'm sure he'd rather
Ian's
have hit
2,000. Ian's into poetry, too.
Yeah.
Ian's really into that sort of thing. But that's a good point. All right. So, wow. That was more than I expected to spend. I thought we'd spend more time maybe on Ty France. But really, look, Ty France, who might be like the best minor league hitter of all time, is also going to be called up. And technically, I guess he would be the one taking the spot of Fernando Tatis. Travis Jankowski will take the place of Ian Kinsler, however you want to look at it. But outfielder Travis Jankowski will also be recalled. So two guys joining the Padres today. Not exactly sure how they're going to fit in. I would imagine Ty France is going to get some starts. And if they really are trying to win, here's what I'll say. Then it's Luis Urias at second base, Manny Machado at shortstop, and Ty France at third. It's a no-brainer.
Is it that way, though, against right-handed pitching, or do they do it? Do they go back? Do they play Garcia at second base against right-handers?
Yes.
And then play Urias at short and Machado at third. But then again, I don't know. Yes. I don't know what Machado's sort of mental situation is when it comes to. Would he just prefer to know right now, look, you're going to play shortstop for the next 2 weeks, or is he okay with going back and forth between short and third? I would imagine there could be, and not because Machado's prickly or anything like that, but I just wonder how difficult is it to go back and forth between those two positions, you know,
You have a very good point, and I think that that'll play into it. I mean, last time, you remember everyone up in arms about Manny Machado not playing shortstop the first night in Atlanta, and I'm not entirely sure of the logistics and why it couldn't have been worked out, but that had a lot to do with not being sure yet how Manny, you know, felt about playing shortstop. So it's important that you take care of your veteran players, especially the one making $30 million.
And they didn't have Urias then, so there wasn't a decent option to play shortstop. I mean, he was really it at that point. But, you know, I would prefer at this point, I mean, if I'm just talking as a fan here, I would prefer to see Machado move over to short and let's see Ty France get some at bats at third base. And
here's why I say it. He has started 8 of the last 10 games at second base at AAA. Ty France has. He's not looking great, is my understanding. So
okay.
That's why I say.
Right.
He's just a natural third baseman. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That might as well take us into one of the things I was going to talk about is the Padres have a couple guys right now who are very hot and a couple guys who are very not. And one of the hot guys is Luis Urias, who started 1-for-24 when he came back from El Paso this second time. And I think we even might have said on here, you know, does there come a point where you have to start to wonder about this guy? It's obviously early. His last 13 games, he's 13-for-38. And, you know, 342 with a 468 on base and a 500 slugging, and he's looked very, very good. He had he's had a couple of big hits. I think he has 9 or 10 RBI in that time frame. So again, you don't want to judge him on 8 games at 1-for-24, and you don't want to judge him on 13 games either. But it just he definitely looks better now than we've seen him at any time in these, I guess, 3 times since he's been called up over the past couple of years.
And he looks better being the key. I mean, whichever, you know, wherever he settles, right?
Right.
This guy's awareness of the strike zone is wow. And the Padres really value that. They've shown that in a lot of ways. He just looks, I mean, that wasn't there. That was there last year. That wasn't there when he came up the first time. He was so discombobulated.
Right.
But
right.
I tell you, wow. And he pounces on whatever pitch he's given. He's still struggling with the fastball. I don't know what his average is ever going to be, but the awareness of the strike zone and the willingness to be that patient hitter and then to actually work with mistakes that pitchers throw, man, I actually like watching him bat. So, yes, very good point. Now, Jay, who is this other player that is hot?
That would be one of the Padres' catchers, and it would be Francisco Mejia, who I believe you wrote about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Mejia, before the start of August, was hitting .223 with a .638 OPS. In August, he's 17-for-33, which is .515, by the way, for anyone keeping track. His slugging in that time is .758. With a OPS of 1.287, and just so you know, his BABIP in that time is .577. I would call that unsustainable, but it's been fun to watch him hit. And every time, I think he's had 2 or 3 hits in what is it now, like 8 straight starts or something like that.
Well, he missed one.
Missed one,
and he actually went hitless when Kevin Kiermaier made that great catch in right center.
That's right. So, but other than that, I think he's had at least two hits.
Yes.
In all of his starts. So again, I mean, is he the guy we saw for 139 at-bats before August? Is he the guy we're seeing for 33 at-bats in August? Is he somewhere in between? But I think the Padres are doing the right thing at this point by you know, letting him go out there and play at least four times a week. And let's see what he's got over these last 5 weeks.
I think it'd be crazy to not do that. And the fact is, like, you know, my first year covering baseball, the catcher for the team that I covered was Mike Piazza. All right,
he was a pretty good hitter, as I recall.
And he was not a good. Now he was not a good catcher in a day when I don't think we appreciated a lot of the things. I mean, now, I mean, who knows? Geez, Mike Piazza, they might be having him down in AAA working on his defense now.
Right, right.
So, or maybe he
needs
play
to maybe
space.
He needs to frame pitches better to take advantage of the horrible umpires. You know, that kind of thing.
but if we didn't have Austin Hedges to compare Francisco Mejia too. Like, I do think it's a no-brainer that Francisco Mejia is the starter right now. I even think in his heart of hearts, so does Austin Hedges.
And yet, Hedges took some flack this week for a comment he made to you about how he thought that he should be, I forget the exact phrasing.
That he should be in the lineup. What he brings, even now, honestly, I should be in the lineup.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I mean, I just didn't take that as that big of a deal. I mean, here's a guy who thinks he should be playing. I mean, I would hope most guys think they should be playing.
Another thing, and maybe this is why we're the soft media, I consider us to be, or myself in particular, because I can only speak for myself, to be the responsible media. I imagine that would have been splashed on the back page of the New York Post. And it would have been that Hedges pops off or something.
Right. Maybe.
I wrote it the way I did. He didn't say it angrily. He just said it. The guy has confidence. If you have a problem with a guy wanting to start, then yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Because,
yeah, I mean, do you want a guy saying, oh, you know what, I really suck right now, and I don't even think I should be playing. I, you know, maybe they should send me to the minors. I mean, I don't think Austin Hedges is a minor, you know, is a minor league player. And I think there are probably places where he could be a very valuable starter, and maybe that even includes here. But not right now, when Mejia is the backup,
right,
or now the starter. You know, right. If they had somebody else as the catcher that was down there, wasn't much of a prospect, then yeah, then Hedges should be playing. But I don't have a problem with a guy believing he should be playing. And as you said, and you were the one who talked to him, he wasn't like angrily popping off and you know, saying that this organization's terrible and how can they not play me and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think he was just kind of stating an honest opinion. He thinks he brings value to the team.
Yeah, so there you go. Believe me, that took a lot of a lot of work. Austin wasn't necessarily in the mood to be talking about his demotion. And just to complete my point, if we didn't see what a gem that Austin Hedges was, like, he is not good behind the plate. He just isn't. Is he getting better? Yes, they're not lying. But that's that's not answering the question that we're asking.
Right.
He's getting better. Well, he was a 2 and he's a 4. Okay. But we wouldn't know exactly. We wouldn't have it in our face how bad he is if you know, Austin Hedges didn't catch, you know, a couple times a week and we saw how, you know, beautifully he does back there. Well, it is what it is, as Darren Balsley said.
Right, and I think, Padres. You know, and like I said, Mejia is getting better, and if he plays, you know, continues to play regularly, then, you know, I'm sure the Padres are hoping that improvement continues. And if he was a 2 and now he's a 4, then if he gets to a 6 and he continues to hit like this, then, you know, that's a great thing for the Padres. But
if you have a catcher with an 800 OPS, Jay, you put him back there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if that's what Mejia is, right? Like,
if he's a 638 OPS guy, which is where he was until August, then I'm not sure how much value he's bringing you. But if he's doubled that, which is what he's done in the last month or a couple of weeks, then yeah, you want him there. But anyway, I mentioned there were a couple of guys who were not hot. One of them you already mentioned in terms of what position is he going to play, and that is Manny Machado, who had really, I thought, good numbers. I think even better than his career numbers.
Yes.
Until the beginning of August, he was 348 on base, 515 slugging, OPS was 863. He had 26 homers, 67 runs batted in for 4 months. You know, he was putting up some pretty good numbers. And now everything's fallen apart for him here in August. He's 8-for-53. He has one extra base hit. He has 3 RBIs. He's hitting 151. His slugging is 170. His OPS is 394. I mean, that's, you know, that's barely above – that's only a little bit above his career on base percentage, let alone throwing in the slugging. So – you know, with a guy like that, you just figure, okay, it's a slump. You would hope it wouldn't last much longer than these couple weeks, but you know, guys go into those slumps like that. Is there anything that you've seen or that anybody has talked about over these couple of weeks where he just hasn't quite looked right at the plate?
Well, I haven't gotten an answer other than that he's being pitched differently, and that I got to look into. It's on my list today. There was a point until the Tampa Bay series, there was a point where like half of those balls were hit, like they were 97 mile an hour exit velocity or more. They were hard hit balls. Mm-hmm. That was not the case. As a matter of fact, a couple of his hits, I think, against the Rays were like 60 mile an hour exit velocity. He just, you know, got hits. So I think it's a slump because I haven't heard anything different. I've asked a few different times, a few different ways. Someone finally said, you know, he's being pitched differently. I got to look into that. You know, there was a time where people around him in the lineup weren't doing well. So it makes sense that he was being pitched differently, you know, and pitched harder than other guys. Right now, slump, Jay. Right now, it's a bad slump, and it is right up there with, I think there was a period in 2017, but it's right up there with the worst of his career.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, you know, he had 400 at-bats before this started, and now it's 53, so it's not like it's the whole season.
Still very
anything.
Close to his career numbers for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I think he might be just a little below now, but up until
yes. Oh, below,
August,
but close.
August 1st, he was you know, he was actually above. The other guy, and I would say I would be a little more concerned if I'm the Padres about this guy, is Hunter Renfroe. Mm-hmm. On the morning of July 4th, Hunter Renfroe woke up with hitting .252 with a .311 on base and a .612 slugging, so a .923 OPS. 33 games since, he's hitting .197, .263 on base, .385 slugging, for so a .648 OPS, also striking out way more often now. Mm-hmm. Once every 2.5 at bats as opposed to every 3.5. And what do we make of Hunter Renfroe over these past 6 weeks?
This I know for sure, they're just pounding sliders on this guy. Look, Hunter Renfroe, one of the best things about him is that he realized who he was, right? And it's not an average hitter. Right? It's going to be a decent on base. What he has to do is pounce on the pitches he gets. And he hasn't been. You can almost see it when he knows, that was my pitch. Here comes this hard slider. You know, where he blows it on, you know, because invariably you're going to get a couple a game. And that's where I think more than we realize, there are certain hitters that absolutely just make their dough on hitting the pitches they can, because they're just not all around hitters. Mm-hmm. Hunter Renfroe is a pull hitter who, you know, with a lot of power, who capitalizes on mistakes, and he has not been over, gosh, I mean, early or late in the first half, I guess, or early in the second half. So, yeah, he's got to get back to that. That's really all there is.
Right. So anyway, we go on now to the Phillies. I don't know if there's I don't know if there's anything more to talk about. I mean, the games this week, we on Tuesday night they lost, Wednesday afternoon they won.
I think Eric Hosmer deserves an Eric Hosmer watch.
I should have looked up, you know, Eric Hosmer's numbers. But they've been good most of the year, actually, right?
I mean, yes, they have, but I mean, in particular, I mean, I think it's you know, he's got like 5 homers in the last 15 games. He's on bases around .500 in that span. I mean, he's being Eric Hosmer is what he's being. I mean, not over the span this season. And so I just wanted to note that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about this guy, and this is what the Padres thought they were getting. So if anybody else thought that this wasn't good enough, you know, right, on pace for a 24 home runs, on pace for 108 RBIs, a guy who does come up with clutch hits, a guy who gets on base, maybe his defense slipped a little bit. But this is what they figured they were getting for 20 mil a year. That's all I wanted to note.
No, that's fair. I was surprised. I was out there on Wednesday, and I never thought his home run was going out. I mean, I knew he hit the ball hard, but it was just one of those balls that just kept carrying, and it was impressive to see that ball go out of the park. And also impressive, I want to know, because we've talked about him before, was Cal Quantrill. That was a tough way to start a game with Eric Sogard forcing him 11 pitch at bat and ends up with a walk, and then Tommy Pham slams the next pitch off the Western Metal Building, which I never saw the exit velocity on that, but I was guessing somewhere around like 5,000 miles an hour.
That's what I said, and it turns out it was only like 111. But anyway, I thought, oh my gosh, is like that Western Metal Building. I know they refurbished it, but that's danger. I mean, he crushed it.
And then Quantrill never gave up another run.
And like we've talked about it. I mean, you talked about it last time about how Andy Green calls him a bulldog, which he did again. And honestly, like the guy is pitching better, but like that's some mental fortitude right there, that what he did to turn that around. The Rays play awful baseball, in my opinion. Their pitchers take forever. Their hitters just grind you to a pulp, right?
The number of foul balls. It was a lot like watching you know what they remind me of? They remind me of the Dodgers. And of course, Andrew Friedman, was in both places. But that's the kind of players that they have where they were – just foul ball after foul ball after foul ball. They put the ball in play, unlike the Padres on Tuesday night, who struck out 18 times. They like you said, they grind it, and their pitchers just take forever.
Well, they use so many. They play the matchup game, and so then a reliever is going to come in, and he's going to be slower. You're going to have guys on base, but oh my gosh. To me, Jay, if you're not going to enforce a guy who takes 40 seconds in between pitches, then don't even have the quote-unquote rule.
I was just going to say, I actually got the stopwatch out on Tuesday night for one of those guys. I can't remember. Was it Castillo, maybe?
Probably.
I can't remember. And he took 40 seconds between pitches more than one time. And it was just excruciating to watch. But, look, they win, they win game. Yep. I'm not denigrating the Rays in any way.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But
it can be
difficult to watch when every pitcher is like Brad Hand and then some. The Padres did get the one win. Now they go to Philadelphia, which has been sort of an up and down team, but I mean they were 37-27, including winning 2 out of 3 at Petco. Eric Lauer beat Aaron Nola, I think, in the first game. Paddock got hit around in the second game. And then Quantrill actually pitched well in the third game, and Wingenter and Stammen got blown up in that day game, I think, and the Phillies won. But since then, after that stretch, the Phillies lost 11-13. Then they were basically a 500 team ever since then. And again, it's one of those things, they just swept the Cubs, including the amazing walk-off slam last night by Bryce Harper, the ball that seemed to take about 15 seconds to come down after he hit it. I'm sure you probably heard the cheering in your hotel room, Kevin, from that one. But they had just lost 7 out of 10 against the White Sox, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants. So I can't read much into anything other than they seem to be a team that is right around 500. They have their good weeks. They have their bad weeks. Who knows what the Padres will see from them this weekend, other than Velasquez tonight, Eflin tomorrow, and then a reunion with Jason Vargas on Sunday afternoon.
Jason Vargas, who one hit over 6 shutout innings, his second to last start for the Mets. It was against the Padres. Mm-hmm. He actually hasn't been terrible. I mean, the Padres would take a guy who goes 6 innings, which he's done 2 out of 3 times and allowed 2 runs. That's what he's done, 2 of his 3 starts for the Phillies.
Right.
So, and Velasquez and Eflin, those can be really good pitchers. They're guys who have been spent time in the Phillies bullpen this year.
Yeah, I mean,
get too deep into that analysis, because who knows?
Both of them have ERAs well over 4, but pitching in that ballpark, their adjusted ERAs, both of them are just a little bit above league average. So no, those guys are fine. What are we seeing for the Padres this weekend? Paddock tonight.
Well, Paddock, and then they're on order, so I really should know this real quick. It should be Paddock, Lamet, and is that Lauer? Yes.
Does that sound right?
Goes on. It's. I guess I'm so thrown off by the fact that they're actually going in rotation here.
That's true. That doesn't usually happen. But
Lamet, I'm not having to do trigonometry.
Lamet on Saturday, Lucchese on Sunday.
Lucchese. That's right. It goes DLJL. See, that's how I do my abbreviations
do
in my. Honestly, check out my notebook. Like it has all these. As I try to figure out their rotation, and so I really whiffed on this one since it is the same it has been now starting a third time through the turn, through the rotation, which has not happened this year. Pretty amazing.
Here's one for you, and we'll talk more about this on Monday. But when you get to Cincinnati on Monday, it will be Lauer against Bauer.
Whoa, Lauer Bauer power.
A Lauer Bauer power show or something like that.
It's the Lauer Bauer hour is what it is, Jeff.
Right, right.
We killed it before we even got there. all right. Well, I'm pretty ready for a little Paddock Day against Vince Velasquez. Get to see little Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, and of course Travis Jankowski coming back. That puts a smile on my face.
That's right. And I did look this up, so I want to get it in. Machado's actually has his, despite the slump recently and despite Harper's big slam last night, Machado, based obviously more on defense probably than offense, does have a higher WAR this year than Bryce Harper for, and I know.
What a bargain.
2.8 WAR, 2.3 for Harper. Neither one has been probably as strong as fans of their teams would have hoped, but still 5 or 6 weeks to go to put up some more numbers, and we'll see what happens. And we will wish you and all those listening a good weekend, and we'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Thank you.